Welcome to show number 93 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. Yo, what is happening, everybody? Hopefully everybody's doing great out there. I'm feeling very good. Had a wonderful time in Las Vegas, and I'm happy to be safely back home. And so I'm here to talk to you today. And so hopefully everything's been going good for you the last couple weeks. And hopefully you've maybe gotten some nice cards or gotten involved in some trades or some box breaks or whatever it might be. Or maybe you're saving up some money for some of the future products that are coming out here over the spring and summertime, which sometimes are some pretty interesting products. Well, by now, maybe you've possibly listened to our last show, which actually wasn't even hosted by me. My brother, who attended all the Las Vegas events, industry summit events related, he knew a lot more about that than I did. So he did a podcast on his own and kind of told you everything. I think it was like 3 hours long. So I actually haven't had it. I'll definitely listen to it. I haven't had a chance to listen to it at this very moment. So, but on today's program, we have Doug from MojoBreak.com. If you remember, we've interviewed him, I don't remember how long ago it was. I guess I could look right here since I have it up. It looked like it was around in October last year. It looked like we interviewed him. So we'll catch up with him. He and Dan went to the industry summit, and I think it was their first time there, and they had a unique perspective being a non-hobby shop owner and being relatively new, I should say, to the industry in terms of selling cards and in kind of a unique way. And so we'll hear about Doug's experience and maybe some of the, we hung out with him a couple times. I think the first or second night we were there, and the last night we were there, I remember playing roulette a couple hours before I even had to catch a flight. We were playing roulette, like video roulette, and so that was super fun. And they were calling out, Doug and Dan were calling out like baseball players' numbers and football players' numbers and stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of funny. And there was another guy there that thought it was pretty funny too. So that was fun. But we'll definitely talk to him about how things are going, what kind of things he saw. Since I didn't go to any of these events, it might be kind of interesting for me to find out what happened. And we'll do all that. And so you'll get all your industry summit information from all them, because my Las Vegas experience is not necessarily, although it was exciting, not necessarily exciting for a podcast. So I gambled quite a bit and got some sports bets, did much better on gambling than I thought I would do. So I don't know if it's luck or that just that I'm a decent enough gambler to where I don't spew all my money, but that's not necessarily entertaining. So we'll save that maybe for another time or another place. But as for just this first segment, we're going to get quickly to our interview with Doug from MojoBreak.com. But I wanted to point out one thing that kind of irritated me a little bit when I came back. I saw it on my forum and I was kind of irritated. I didn't see it as it kind of unfolded because I was in Las Vegas. But when I came back, I was kind of irritated when I saw this. But to give you a quick backstory, I don't want to go too far into this, and I'm not putting this out there to expect any kind of recourse or anything like that. I think my point is I accept the decision or whatever that was made, but I do want to speak my mind on it because I think it was important enough for me to do so. But check out mycards.com. Put out a contest that said they wanted people to put up video testimonials about their website on YouTube, and the video that got the most likes would win the contest. And I wish I had it up in front of me, and if I was a smart podcaster, I probably would. But it wasn't a very long blog post. There weren't any really rules outside of you just need a lot of likes on your video. Didn't say necessarily what kind of video, just a testimonial, which it could mean anything. And Steel Second, a very loyal fan forum member, and someone I've talked to on Skype, I've talked to via email and outside of just the forum, someone I've gotten to know a little bit over the past, for a while now, I can't remember how long I've been talking to him, but it's been a while. So he wanted me to throw up a contest so he could promote his page. And so, because the prize was to get on the first page of Check Out My Cards, and they'd put your cards there, or they'd put a listing. I don't know what they would do, but to get on the front page of checkoutmycards.com probably is pretty nice, and for a whole month. And so that's actually a really good price. And so check out my Steel Second had a really good idea to host a contest. And so those of you that are on the forums probably entered the contest, and we'll be doing that in the next couple days here. And I kind of expected Steel Second to win this contest. Like, when he emailed me, I knew he was going to win, because I could have promoted this even more. That's what I don't think Check Out My Cards really realizes, is that I could have sent out emails. I could have tweeted this. I could have done way more. I just basically put a post on our forum. I knew we'd probably get 30 to 40 people to like his video. I don't remember how many people actually did, but it at their count, on most people's count, that Steel Second actually won the contest based on how it's stipulated on Check Out My Cards blog. But the video, another video, and another member was awarded the prize and announced the winner based on some other reasoning that I haven't really care to even listen to be honest with you. So I found that to be very, very saddening, kind of disheartening, because if you put up a contest, maybe because I've worked, one of my jobs was like internet fraud detection. So I know what people do to like fraud. Anybody could have won this video contest easily. It's not that hard to get likes on a YouTube page. You could have done it and nobody but yourself could have watched and liked the videos. You could easily rig it. They only got like 40 likes. I mean, you could get 1,000 in a day if you know what you're doing. So I don't understand why they didn't make it a harder contest, or why they didn't reserve the right or put that in the original one that they would end up picking the winner, but they would be influenced by the number of likes. So my boy Steel Second emails Check Out My Cards. They end up sending him $50, which is cool. I mean, I appreciate that they hooked him up with something, but he had to email them. They would have probably never sent him the 50 if he didn't email them. So, and said, I won. What the heck happened? Well, here's 50. To me, that's fine. And it's nice that they at least gave him a consolation, but I was kind of irritated that they hold a contest that was easy to enter, and it was they had very little stipulations, and then they kind of changed the rules at the end because whoever they wanted to win to get the prize. And if people don't know Steel Second, I've talked to him on Skype, and this is not, I know Martin's listening right now. This is not a negative thing, but I've talked to Martin on Skype, and honestly, I've had to have him repeat things because he does have an accent, a foreign accent. He speaks good English, but his accent, I'm like a California redneck, and I speak a lot of slang and Stockton Street. Maybe I can understand those guys, but Martin, who speaks very good, very fluent English, and that's his language. So, but it's just with an accent. So him to maybe talk on video, I think people maybe didn't give him credit for talking on the video. But when you have an accent that a lot of American people can probably understand, but it's not what we're used to, I could see why he didn't do a video with his voice and stuff like that. That's not putting him down. That's not, there's beautiful actors out there that have jobs on Hollywood because of their accent, because of the way they say words and the way they say things. So it's actually a good quality to have. And, if I wasn't a redneck from California, I'd probably have a pretty sweet accent too. So, but I just wanted to throw that out there. I've supported Check Out My Cards without any affiliation or any like whatever. And I just felt like my boy won, and he should have won. His name, Steel Second's card, should be on the front of Check Out My Cards for a month. And he's a collector. He's not trying to flip his cards and make a bunch of money and cash out of the business. He's really a collector at heart. And he uses the site exactly as how it's supposed to be intended. So just wanted to touch on that because I was a little upset about that. So just wanted to throw that out there. And not that it has to influence how you shop on that website or any other website, but it is an example. If you put together a contest, if you put together some kind of thing that people can win. I remember Upper Deck Blog had awards like 2 years ago. No wonder they didn't do them again, because there was a big mess with that. And you got to think these things through. You got to think it all the way through. You've got to think it from the all the way through, from who you want to win to the type of video you wanted to be put out there. You had to spell it out for people. Otherwise, people were just going to put up a video and win. And, I mean, they were lucky Martin did such a good job with his video. I mean, I would have just put up a real, if I just wanted to win really quick, I would have put up a real thin video and spam the likes and been like, I should win. But, you know, it is what it is. Can't do anything about it, but I don't expect anything to be done about it. It's all good. It's just baseball cards. It's just a little contest. It's, you know, in the end, it's like $10 here and there, but you're not really, you know, it kind of sucks for him to go through all that effort. He did pay me for the shipping and the boxes and stuff for all that, so it's not like I was just doing this for free. He did pay out of his own pocket too, so they gave him $50. I think he gave me at least $30 for everything, including shipping. So it's not like he cashed in for free or something, got free promoted just because you know, we're best friends or something. So I don't know, I just felt like that kind of bummed me out. But I don't want to maybe end the segment on a negative note. So we'll try to reverse course here. We've got a wonderful, wonderful interview. I haven't done it yet. So hopefully, no, I'm actually, because I've met Doug in person and we've talked on the phone and talked via email a couple times, and I've gotten involved with Box Breaks. We actually did a box break with them over the industry summit. I think I posted a link to it on our forum. We pulled the Andrew McCutchen one of one. There was like a Jeter jersey. We pulled a Mark Ingram jersey. I know all the cards that like I pulled, but I know there was like a Blaine Gabbert, I believe, in there. Blaine Gabbert autograph was really nice. There was an Andy Dalton and an AJ Green. So there was some really, really nice cards. So saw some nice cards pulled over the weekend. So that was kind of fun. And I'm actually doing Totally Certified Football comes out today at your local hobby shop and mojobreak.com, I think. Apparently, yes. I got involved in like a box break with them where it was about $29 for a random spot for six boxes. So that seemed pretty darn good to me. Random spot, and if you happen to get the Bengals or even the Saints or the Carolina or one of those teams, the teams that have a lot of rookie autographs and stuff, hey, $29 might be a steal if I can hit an Andy Dalton or something like that, or an AJ Green. So we'll see. It's a random spot, so I might end up with the Chargers or something like that, and might not end up being that great. But who knows? That's the gamble. That's why it was so fun in Vegas, gambling. It's I could do a whole podcast on gambling and all the gambling I did, the poker, I did sports betting, I did slots, but really no limit hold'em and sports bets. I could do a whole podcast on a game I played in, but I'm going to spare you the details because we've got an interview, a great interview to get to. We've got lots to talk about with Doug from MojoBreak.com right after this. What's up, everybody? We are joined by Doug today from MojoBreak.com, and it was very exciting to catch up with him this last week in Las Vegas at the Orleans Casino at the Industry Summit. How are you doing today, Doug?
I'm doing awesome. You know, a little, jet lagged, getting used to not hearing sounds of slot machines and waitresses, but I'm back to normal, and I'm excited about what went down at the summit.
Well, we're glad you got home safely and you had a good time. And we hung out a couple nights there, and the definitely epic nights, and filled with lots of all of the above, which you mentioned. Maybe we'll save some of that talk for another time, because we have lots of interesting things to talk about today. Because I actually, although I went to the Industry Summit, I didn't actually go to any events. So I really am kind of clueless, like maybe a lot of people out there listening are, about what actually went on
and the kinds of things that happen. But before we kind of delve into all that, I kind of wanted to start maybe at the beginning. For those that maybe don't remember your website or don't remember hearing your interview, maybe tell us a little bit about your website and then also why you decided to go to the industry summit to begin with and kind of your preparation for that and how you, you know, came about to decide to go.
Yeah, mojobreak.com is the site, and how we got started on that is me and Dan are hobby lovers. We've been collecting cards for a while, and we thought, how can we be a part of this, you know, amazing industry? And so we started, we were going to decide to sell boxes, and then that didn't really work out, so we decided to create a group break site. So we called it Mojo Break because the industry, when you get something good, everybody says Mojo, and we were trying to get a catchy name, so we did mojobreak.com, and we're pretty much... There's other guys doing it, but we're the only guys really doing it on a professional level, not to toot our own horn, but we have a fully functional, secure site where you can go on and buy whatever team you'd like. If you want to join a random break, if you want to join a break by team, if you're a fan of the Titans or the Jaguars, you can go on there and buy your team up and get a chance at getting that Jake Locker card in the case, or, you know, Blaine Gabbert if you're a Jaguars fan. We're doing basketball breaks now, so... You know, it's a great way to get into something without spending, you know, a lot of money. So everybody knows that cases can cost thousands of dollars, and not anybody has that coin. I myself don't even have that kind of coin. So you can get in on something, you know, cheap and get a chance at, you know, $1,000, $2,000 cards. So it's, you know, for the theme of Vegas, group breaking is a little bit of a gamble, but it's not a huge buy-in. And you get something for it as well. So,
nice.
But how we came about Vegas is... we've been doing this for about a year, and we've kind of just been hearing from our distributors and people like that. This is the place to be to, you know, meet Panini and educate ourselves on, you know, what goes on in the industry, how cards are made, and just get our face in front of some of the people that make cards and say, hey, we're Mojo Break, this is what we do. And so me and Dan made the trip. We made shirts with our little logos on it, made some business cards, and off we went to Sin City.
Awesome. So, yeah, you don't have to be highly bankrolled or like a public company or anything like that to attend these kind of events. You know, you can, like you said, you've only been around for a little over a year, and you're at the industry summit rubbing elbows with everybody in the industry. What did you think about it when you first got there and then kind of got to your first convention event? And what were the kind of things that you initially saw?
Well, you know, the first thing we attended was one of those early bird sessions, which was a constant contact meeting, which is where we ran into your brother.
Okay,
so
cool.
I noticed the name and I said, hey, I was on the podcast, and that's how we hit it off there. And the first session was that, and then I believe they opened the showroom at like 3:30, and all you could see when you open up is just different booths, and it's just a lot going on. And I think the first thing me and Dan ran into was the Benchwarmer girls, which conveniently were like the first booth on the left side. You're like, whoa. And then they're signing autographs, and of course they're pretty nice looking girls there, and they're signing promo cards, and you're just walking around. Everybody's giving out free stuff there, promoting their new products. Distributors are doing contest giveaways and things like that, so that you can, you know, if you're buying cards, if you're a local card store, you want to try to place orders with them. So it's just a great event, and they had celebrity signings, and Carmen Electra, Gary Payton was there, and this is overall, it was a great experience.
Nice, and I know that there's a lot of, like, distributors there and people that do, like, wholesale accounts. Did you meet any new ones that you hadn't heard of, or did you establish any like relationships, either in that sense or other kind of relationships during the event?
Yeah, we did. We used like 3 or 4 distributors right now, and then, you know, there was a few of them that we hadn't heard of that were there. So, you know, we're always opening to do business with anybody out there. So we met up with them and said, hey, just send us an email or give us a call anytime you have something coming up. We'd love to do business with you and, you know, promote you guys. And, you know, we pretty much talked to all the guys from Panini, all from the CEO down to Hackler, you know, and there wasn't really anybody there from Topps, believe it or not, which is kind of a buzz on Twitter on why Topps didn't have a presence there. We talked to Upper Deck, Beckett was there, check out my cards, and just kind of chatting it up. You hear these guys in the industry, but you don't actually see them on, you know, so you get to place a face with the name.
Yeah, yeah, and that's always nice. And I remember last year, Topps didn't have as high a presence. Maybe they just don't feel like it's something they need to support. I don't know. I can't speak for them, but I did find that kind of interesting. Was there any other kind of things like that that you found kind of interesting, or things that maybe you went into the event not knowing what to expect, and then once you started going to some of the conferences and things like that, that things started to, did anything surprise you or take you aback, anything like that?
Well, you know what was kind of surprising was the division, and let me try to articulate this as well as possible, the division of internet guys and brick-and-mortar stores. Obviously, there was a lot more brick-and-mortar stores, and the event catered towards brick-and-mortar stores.
Right.
But they didn't really, the brick-and-mortar stores, especially the guys that have been doing it for 20, 30 years, they didn't really embrace the new technology. A lot of them, there was some guy in some meeting that said he doesn't even have a smartphone, he doesn't have a computer and stuff like that. And I think, you know, obviously this is well behind the times. That, you know, Twitter is prevalent, even for local car store guys. You know, they can promote their stuff on Twitter, they can build mailing lists, and just really odd that there's not a lot of guys taking the jump. And now I understand that, you know, they've been doing business for 34 years one way, and it's probably hard to teach an old dog new tricks, so to speak. But that was my biggest eye-opening experiences, was a lot of these guys that are running businesses that aren't involved in the internet at all.
I see. Yeah, I kind of knew that it was from the hot, and I kind of talked to my brother a little bit today, and that hopefully maybe with more people covering it on the internet, and maybe more people like you and people with businesses similar to yours show up, that might help bridge the gap there a little bit. And one thing about older people signing, when my dad signed up for Twitter, I knew that everybody should probably sign up for Twitter, because I would have never imagined my dad actually called me one day and asked me what hashtags were on Twitter. And I was like, man, this is a new day and age that my dad is asking me how to use Twitter. So I think it should be used by many, but let's not get too far off track here. I did want to touch a little bit more on that point there, that there was a division between hobby store owners and maybe some of the online. What kind of suggestions would you give? Now, obviously, you don't own your own hobby store, but you've been in enough, and you've shopped, and you've been a customer at plenty of them, I'm sure. What kind of suggestions, what kind of things could they be doing to maybe bridge that gap a little bit, maybe bring themselves into 2012 and beyond?
Well, and let me first off say, by saying that we're not first them, we want that there's enough pie, so to speak, to share for everybody. And the things that we don't have, we do a break, but it's going to take 4 or 5 days for, you know, well, 2 to 3 days for people to get their cards. So the immediacy isn't there, whether it's these guys in the local car store is, and they can use videos from us or people that break as forms of advertising. But what they can do to improve their businesses, there's another guy I ran into who basically has a local car store, and he also has a continuous live feed into his local card store. So,
what card store is that? Do you remember what card store that is?
It's cloudpanchara.com.
Okay. Yeah, I've definitely heard of that for sure.
Yeah, and they're an internet-based business as well, but they have a card store. So it's kind of like having two stores. So you have your people that walk in, and if you have a continuous blog feed in your store, meaning a streaming camera in your store,
right,
somebody can come in that blog room and say, hey, you got any boxes for sale? And then transactions can then be secure via PayPal. You're having two forms of ways of making money. And then also, like what Panini and GTS promoted over the weekend was an ultimate case break, and they can start doing case breaks in the store.
Right.
You know, as a way for people not only to come back in the store but participate in a case for, you know, cheap. So there's many different ways. Then building a mailing list, sending out, hey, we got specials, you know, totally certified, just came out, we got it for whatever price. You know, or maybe they're liquidating some stock. Maybe they got some stuff from 09 that's just collecting stuff on the shelf. If they had built up a mailing list or a Twitter feed or a Facebook, they can promote all that and get some return on it. And there's really no cost of investment.
Right. Yeah, that is kind of in a live feed into the shop. I actually really like that idea. I'm going to have to go check that out. I didn't know about that, so that sounds kind of interesting.
Know, I don't know if they do it 24/7, but I would imagine, I mean, that would be something, especially if you're, maybe if you're a one-man shop, it's maybe a little hard to pay attention to all that, but I'm sure that there's some downtime even for the one-man shop.
Right.
And just jump on the room and see if there's somebody in there. You can, we know, we've gone into rooms with $2,000 worth of product with nothing already pre-sold and went in there and sold it all.
Oh, wow.
In one night. So,
oh, crap.
You know, it's just, it's the immediacy. And some people don't have local car stores, you know, within a 100-mile radius. So they're using the internet to buy their product, whether they're going to car places like Blowout Cards or they're going to, you know, all these other places.
And we are back. Sorry, we had some slight technical difficulties there, which is about standard for the Sports Card Radio and Sports Card Radio podcast. But we still have Doug here. And what I wanted to kind of segue into is what, now looking back, now that you've gotten back from the beautiful Orleans and beautiful Las Vegas and all that there is, what are some of the, I know there was lots of sessions and things like that, but, and there you met lots of people. What kind of stands out now? Now that you look back and it was your first time there, what stands out, you know, now that you've had a few days to reflect on the event?
Just how cool people in this industry are, because this is our first event, you know, we've dealt with people on the phone like yourself from the last interview and, you know, stuff via, mainly via email. That's how, because we don't have a shop. So just to get in and see people in the industry and how approachable everybody is, and it seems like, you know, the majority of everybody isn't in it as much as themselves as they are for the entire hobby. Obviously, there's money being made in this hobby, but at the same time, everybody's kind of feeling is let's help each other out, and if by me helping you out, by, you know, we make everything bigger for the both of us, and that's kind of what was eye-opening to me, being from other industry backgrounds and stuff that I've done other than, you know, the hobby. So, mm-hmm. There's a lot more snobby people in other industries. When you're dealing with the hobby, it's like everybody's pretty genuine and down to earth.
Nice.
But also another like event that stood out was, now, not partial to any, you know, manufacturer by any means, but Panini had a presence there, and they basically had an event where it was an hour-long session of them talking about, hey, how they screwed up last year. They took total blame for redemptions and product that didn't look so good and products being pushed back, and they gave us all timelines on how they make their product and what goes into it, and they could have easily blamed the NBA lockout and the NFL lockout as why these guys didn't sign, which is pretty much why. I mean, you're trying to get autographs in a certain amount of time, and the holdup is, you know, these guys have lives, they have wives, they, you know, play video games or whatever they do. They may not have time to sit down and sign these autographs, but Panini as a company, it speaks volumes for them to come out and say, hey, we messed up.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do to try to correct it next year.
Nice. Well, that's good to know if you're a collector, because it's good to hear that the companies will at least listen to some of the criticism and not... I mean, I've seen a lot of people praise Panini for some things too. So it's not that everything they did was a complete disaster, but the fact that they do listen to the criticism does give me hope that hopefully they will continue to improve their products and stuff like that. Do you have a preference for what, you know, Tops or baseball or football? What's your personal preference if you have one?
You know, I'm a baseball collector when it comes to prospects, that's me personally, but,
okay.
You know, when we're doing breaks, we just obviously want the best product. I mean, it's as funny as it may seem, we sound almost we feel almost responsible when something like this happens, and I don't know if local card store owners feel the same, but it's like, it's a product you're selling, and yeah, you didn't make it, but at the same time, people gave you money to, like in our case, a group break, you know, people gave us money, and they want something for it, they don't want a redemption, and you know, stuff like that. So it's comforting, back to the Panini, not to dwell on that too much. It's comforting to know that they have their ears open. So.
Well, that's kind of interesting. Well, speaking of breaks and stuff like that, it sounded like you had a little Panini black box, among other things, going on your website. Maybe talk to us a little bit, maybe about some of the promotions and giveaways, but also just... how people can get on your site. And I literally did it in like 5 minutes the other day. I bought a spot for Totally Certified Football that's just coming out. So it took me like 5 minutes to buy a spot into that. So maybe tell people about that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the promotion we're doing is, Panini was very generous, and they gave us a black box to give out. And what we're going to do, that event is going to be on April 13th. It's going to be 7 p.m. live on our blog channel, which you can find the link for our blog channel on mojobreak.com. You'll be able to see all the links. Mm-hmm. But all you got to do is sign up for our mailing list and be in the room that night. And basically what we're going to do is, because in this black box, it could either be hockey, football, basketball, or like a non-sport type, like a Pam Anderson thing. So
okay.
We're going to do like a random that's going to have like, everybody who signs up is going to get in on the random, and then we're going to have like 92 spots. So we're going to do it kind of like a break. So, you know, you kind of build up that anticipation that maybe you'll get Carolina before we open that black box, and you may be getting a, you know, Cam Newton 101 or something like that. So yeah, we'll do that, and then we'll open the box, and whatever team is in there, whoever is the lucky winner in the room and it signed up for our mailing list will get that card. So it could be anywhere from a $100 card up to, I think some of them I've seen on eBay trying to get like $5,000 for some of these cards out of that box.
Oh,
so
wow.
Amongst that, for that night, we're also giving away Trump Panini, a private signing of Case Keenum, who is a six-year, I guess he's the NCAA leader for college records, and he's coming out in the draft next year. So it's a private signing they did for a Pop Warner event during a Super Bowl in Indianapolis. We have that. We also have a Von Miller private signing from that event, and a Andy Dalton, your boy.
Hey, we're Andy.
We're giving it away, an Andy Dalton private signing auto.
Sweet.
So that's all in just one crazy night, April 13th, live at 7. But back to the site, how you can use it is you just go on mojobreak.com. Our main page is, you know, blog posts and stuff. Try to give reviews on the main page, and then there's a little tab up at the top left called Buy Spots. Once you click on that, it takes you into all of our live breaks, live meaning that there's still spots available.
Okay.
And you just find which one you like, whether it be Totally Certified. We're doing a hit style break for the new Prime Cuts baseball. We're doing Museum Collection baseball. Those are all on the site right now. Nice. You just go onto that part of the site and find whatever team you like, click on it, and then it's pretty easy from there. We take PayPal, and everything is secured through authorized.net, so you're not getting any of your information stolen.
Yep, exactly. And you guys run it legit. You pay your fees, and I noticed I'm from California, so I pay tax, which I have no, some people have problems with that. I have no problems with that. Our state is broke. They need the money, so I have no problems doing that.
In a perfect world, we wouldn't charge our customers for that, but then Uncle Sam doesn't like that, and
Well, you risk.
Unfortunately, we have to have that on there.
Right, and like you said, you're one of the few that are doing it professionally, and you have to cover your bases there. Otherwise, you won't be doing anything professionally if you do stuff like that. So, I respect people that do that and follow by all the rules. And it's looking like it's working out pretty good for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. We've grown pretty big, and we have a lot of clientele, and we like I said, we base it on customer service. The group break is obviously a little side business. You know, if we broke it down, we probably would make $5 to $8 an hour.
Right.
You know, when you figure in all the sorting and stuff like that. But you know, we do it because we love the hobby. I've done like 250 breaks now, something like that, over the last year. And I still get excited, you know, nice. Whatever product it is, I'm looking forward to it. I got my day job, unfortunately, still. And I still look forward to coming home whenever we're doing the break. And like tomorrow, we're going to do the certified case. And, nice. You know, that's what's on my mind. That's what's exciting. Even though I don't get to keep the card, seeing those awesome pulls and seeing, you know, the multiple colored swatches and the autographs, and, you know, hopefully we'll get a 101 or something like that.
Definitely.
You know, that's what excites me, and that's what drives me to stay motivated and get more breaks up there and continue on with something like this.
Very cool. Well, that's pretty cool, Doug. I wanted to ask you what you thought, now that you've been to the industry summit for the first time here, are you going to go back again next year? Is that the plan?
Yeah, definitely. We're going to try to be there every year. It's just such a valuable tool, especially if you're a local card store, anything that, you know, monetizes from this hobby or you know, sells products or, you know, even websites that, that write about this hobby. It's very valuable. Yes, it does cost to get there, but it's well worth the admission. I mean, all the free stuff you get, if you, you know, you don't have a whole lot of money, you can bank on getting some of your money back by just the free stuff that, that is handed out at the event, because there's a great marketplace for it on eBay and stuff like that. So you can, especially that black box, you get something there, you might be able to take the extra money and put it on a roulette table or something right. like that. But it's definitely something that Mojo Break's going to be a part of every year, and we're talking about maybe getting something going next year where we'll have our own maybe booth and do free breaks or something, just to, you know, kind of show people what we do, because we were literally the only people at the entire summit that did group breaking, so, which was surprising to us.
Right. Yes, considering, yeah, that it's such, so many people do it, not only on websites, and but on forums and all over the place, so, and just for fun. We were doing it for charity last couple weeks, so there's a lot of, it's an interesting thing, and it definitely, like you said earlier, it could definitely help out a card shop if they got into it or made that a part of their business model as well. So that's pretty interesting.
You know, and not to dwelling on it, but yeah, it's like I just did a personal break of Totally Certified, and you know, I'm gonna throw it on YouTube, and people may like what they see, and they're not gonna, you know, be able to get it. They can go right down to a local card store and pick it up now that they've actually previewed the product. So right. I think all in all, it's good for these manufacturers to have people like us, or just anybody. I mean, manufacturers should almost give like a $5 coupon to people who record breaks. I mean, that's an idea for them. It's like, put it up on the website. I mean, the more something tangible like this is in people's faces and the more they're hearing about it, it's better for everybody.
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely agree. Well, as I understand it too, well, you know me, I like saving money. I'm kind of sometimes frugal, except maybe when I'm in Vegas and got sports bets on the line and things like that. But I always like saving money. I always like finding those coupons or saving a dollar here and there. Apparently, you might have a little way for our members to do that on your website.
Yeah, if you go on there and basically there's, when you go through the checkout screen on mojobreak.com, there's a little coupon section. And just type in the code SportsCardRadio before you check out, and it's going to save you 15% off.
Oh, that sounds good to me. That's man, if you did like $100 or $130 worth of breaks, that's definitely some extra money in your pocket.
Exactly.
So that's good to know. So they can, like I said, I was on the site, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and I checked out very quickly, and it was very, very convenient and easy for even someone like me. So I definitely appreciate that, and I definitely appreciate having you on today again, Doug. Everybody can find you at mojobreak.com. And what's your Twitter handle?
Mojobreak_com.
Okay. And Facebook is the same kind of deal, or?
Yeah, just search Mojobreak. Will come up first. Just don't put any spaces, put Mojobreak.
Okay.
And you'll find us. Twitter is where we're most active, but they both mirror each other. So if you're on Facebook, you'll see the posts, and likewise on Twitter. So.
Sounds good. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we'll definitely catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, thanks again. Thanks for having us.
Yep.